The recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG Executive Committee meeting on Friday, 10th of April, 2014. On the call today, we have Rafik Damak, Robin Gross, Sapani Tavainen, Rudy Van Sneek, and from myself, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you so much. Over to you, Rafik.
Thanks, Mariam, and thanks for everyone for joining today's call. So, Mariam, please don't forget to take notes, too. So, basically, as I mean, we are trying to achieve here is to review new application. And also, we try really to go through the pending application. They have been for a while, and we need to clean up that backlog. And then we will have maybe an update or any other business. Just have in mind some maybe suggestions and then how we can improve our way of working between calls so we can try to achieve some work. So let's start with the review of new application. We have a few, so it's an opportunity really to go after to the pending application. Did everyone open the file? I mean, you have a file in front of you? Okay, assume yes. So, let's start with the first member. So, it's a new applicant. Name is Kagri Emmer from Australia. So, he has a website, and I already see that Robin and Tafani voted yes. Vote from Rudy is missing. So, Rudy?
Yeah, sorry. It's okay for me too. I just checked this website and it's an individual that has a blog as far as I've seen.
Yes, I think it's a blog, and it sounds like writing about technical stuff. So, okay. So, you vote approve?
Yes, I did.
Just to okay, thanks. Mariam, please take. Update the. So we get our first approved. Member, an applicant for today. The next is, his name is Mohamed Nijia from Gambia. I don't know him. I think it's really quite a new application, so I didn't have really time even to check. And so checking quickly.
Rafik, this is Robin.
Yes.
This looked to me like, you know, there was no reason not to approve it. An individual from the Gambia, his address is, or I'm not sure if it's a his or a her, but the address is there. Was there some reason not to approve it? Because it looks okay to me, unless I'm missing something.
Well, I just made a quick search in my own mailbox, and he sounds ICANN fellow. He was in the ICANN 52, which means Singapore. And as a fellow, he's listed as academic.
Okay, well then, that sounds like he's right up our alley. I will approve.
Okay. Well, it sounds you approve. Okay, guys, you are quick. It seems to be approved. Okay, he is approved. Okay. So, yeah. The next, his name is Arthur Guagua from United Kingdom. So I see he was approved, but just I think it was Stefani asking how he could apply for both NCUC and POC. I think it's just kind of, I mean, mistake, since this is in the old form, so it should not be happen in the new one, which will go live today after we finish application, then we can close it. So. Okay, something's approved too. I mean, I see approve. Okay. Yes. The next one, Arun Sukumar, also I see is approved. But just, yeah, I mean, he was also in Singapore meeting, and with his own capacity, I mean, he was not followed, but just he attended. And I think maybe you know him, Robin. He's also in the working group for accountability. And, yeah, he's an academic too, so. Okay, we got all individual approved. Thanks, guys. That was really quick and efficient. So, I think we can go to the organization. So the next sheet. The first organization is Mertek from Hungary, and they had chance to talk with them, and they contacted me, so they look legit and so on. So okay, sounds okay. I see it's approved already. Since we get all votes, so that was also quick. The next is the Greater Washington DC chapter. I think this is the issue was with Judith. She wanted to join as organization, but she applied as individual. No, so she reapplied again. So yeah, I see that all of you approve it. So it's okay. The next one is Civil Initiative on Internet Policy from Kyrgyz Republic, and checking the website, it's the legal state of organization is non-governmental non-profit organization registered as a public foundation of the Kyrgyz Republic. And the mission is to promote legislative and regulatory reforms of ICT policy, which provides transparent and predictable regulation, availability of competition, and free access of citizens to telecommunication services and information resources. Okay. I see that all of you voted yes, so it's also approved. The next is the Heritage Foundation. That's famous think tank. It's quite interesting that we really get them. It's went also it's good. And so, okay, I see that all of you vote approve, so yes, it's approved too. And the same
I'm sorry,
for the next.
Can I say something on this? I just want to raise at least have a little discussion on this issue, and that is the extent to which, and I don't know, and I'm just looking at the Heritage Foundation's financial information webpage now, the extent to which, okay. Their finances come from corporations or commercial institutions, and it looks like on their webpage here now it's saying less than 5%. So Okay. So I mean, this was just one thing that I was just kind of, it's like, yes, I want to approve this organization, but then I'm like, boy, do they get a lot of money from business. And it says here the Heritage Foundation, hundreds of thousands of individual foundation and corporate donors, annual expense budget of $82.4 million. Wow. I don't think we've ever had a member with that kind of budget before. Seriously. I don't think we've ever had a member with a budget over $1 million.
It's the Heritage Foundation. I mean, it's famous think tank. It's more, I think, on the conservative side. But yes, I mean, so. Yeah.
So I know. So I'm going to say yes. Let's approve, but let's keep an eye on, you know, commercial interests potentially influencing non-commercial spaces in such a way.
Okay. Not taken. So I think that's the point. I mean, is to kind of maybe measure the level of contribution from the commercial side. So, I mean, for any organization, it would be hard really just, I mean, to from only one unique source to get money, but okay, but I see that it's approved. Okay. So the next is the Center of Communication Governance, National Law, University Delhi, and also I see it was approved. Well, okay, thanks, Guy. I mean, I think we broke a record. We approved all new members in less than 10 minutes. Thanks for this. That really was efficient. Okay. So let's go then to the... You will see there is two tabs, end the review for individuals and end the review for organization. So just maybe to explain the background here, those we have them like, I mean, it's I mean, this is kind of applicant that we have more asked for clarification and so on, and we follow it up with them. For some, we get answer, for other not. So we just need to make a kind of final decision, and we need to move on, I think, and try at the end to send them email just to explain why they were, I mean, rejected, or just they accept them. So the first one is, is everyone in this in the page or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So the first is Hasna Suraya Milyani from Morocco. I think in that time the question was raised that she's working for Moroccan government as e-government project manager in the Department of Commerce. So I think the question here, we should do here exactly. Should we reject or approve? I mean, or what action we should take in this case?
Tapan here. I think I would like to have some information of her interest here, because is she related to her work or not? Because I don't see a problem where she works if her interest in the domain name system is not only due to her work. Is there any information on that? What's her interest here?
Okay.
Hi, this is Robin. Yeah, no, I agree with Tapani, and that's really what my question would be, too, is just maybe we should get in touch with her and talk to her a little bit, because my concern would be is that she would join NCSG as part of her job in the government, and in that respect that would be inappropriate. So maybe just talking it through with her about what her interest is and who she'd be representing and can help us to make this decision.
Okay. Madam, are you taking, please take note of all this question. and the document, so we can follow up later. You can send email to them. And I see that Rudy raising his hand. Yes, Rudy?
Yes, thank you, Rafik. Rudy here. I agree. We need to be careful with allowing people from governments to join and infiltrate in what we are doing. And maybe an additional element to help understanding for who they are applying, as we don't see if they are applying for NCSG or for NCUC or for ANPOC. It would be good if we could have an indication which constituency they want to join, so that we know what is the angle they are trying to follow.
Okay. I mean, she's in the individual anyway, but yes, okay. Okay, so we have a question to follow up with her, okay? Okay. So, we have that. I think we can move to the next. He's Bola Sumo from Liberia. And that time we said that we cannot find any information, so it was hard to find out who is this person and to assess why he wants to join. So, any comment here?
This is Robin.
Yes, Robin.
So I think that, you know, I don't think that just because we can't find any information about this person, it should be a bar for their admission. And, you know, the country that they're applying from is Liberia, so there might not be a lot of information about this person on the web. Unless there's something suspicious about the application or something that looks a little cagey, that's incomplete, that's I think we should approve it. I think simply because we can't find any information about someone on the web, it just isn't a good reason to not approve an application.
Thanks, Robin. Tapani, Guti, do you have any thought here?
Yeah, Tapani here.
Looking at go ahead, Tapani.
Okay, just a quick question. Did she apply us and just she indicated for interest in the system? She does not have a domain of her own, just interesting, the system will be basically know nothing. You have the application at hand, or somebody, I don't.
Yeah, I do. This is Miriam speaking. There is no information apart from what we have here.
Yeah, I mean, well, when they apply, they select in how. So it say I am individual user who is primarily concerned with public interest and aspect of the name, and I'm not representing ICANN through membership in another supporting organization. And just as individual who is interested by domain name policy, so not necessarily domain name per se.
Okay.
But if I see now the information, she is also at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Yes, that's the applicant and address.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tapani, again. It sounds that she may be applying on behalf of her work if she works for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, so I would ask clarification for that.
Yes, this is Robin. I agree. That's an material piece of new information in the analysis. So I think we do need more clarification as to whether or not she will be representing her or advocating for the interests of her government in NCSG or for herself.
Yeah. Okay, so please, Marianne.
Indicate a constituency.
She didn't choose any constituency, it's none.
Which means it's not so clear for her or for him. I don't know if it's a lady or a man. It seems not being very clear what she is expecting from the organization itself.
Yep, yeah. So that's why I think we are trying to figure out, the interest and so, yeah. I mean, what specifically, maybe what kind of perspective maybe she want to or he want to represent in NCSG. So yeah. Okay. So yeah, we should ask here. Yeah. So can I think go to the next? The next is I Julie Bimbola Rotimi from Nigeria, and I see that I think Tapani had comment that invalid URL is not the reason for rejection, but he would anyway ask for explanation and correction. So
yeah, Tapani, just basically any incorrect information in the application should be corrected and asked for correction. If somebody lies in the application, that would be called rejection. I suspect this is a temporary error or whatever, but I would like to ask him or her whether what's wrong with the website and is it going to be fixed, because having a broken website link somewhere looks bad.
Yeah. And that was why was supposed to do is to provide a contact for technical issues. Robin, Rudy.
Well, I just dropped the link to the LinkedIn page that the person has on LinkedIn, and it looks like he's working now for Upperlink Ltd, the company. And Beansoft doesn't appear in his profile.
You find, LinkedIn?
Yeah. LinkedIn. I found his profile. I've dropped it in the chat window. Idea, so I suppose that it is that person. It looks like he is working as an assistant manager, a technical and cloud solutions specialist at Upperlink Limited. And before he was at the Federal University of Technology. Just wondering if it's not somebody that came through the fellowship to an ICANN meeting and applied for membership.
I think we can do a search quickly since the list of fellows are public. So one sec.
Hi, this is Robin.
Yes, Robin.
I think what may be important here is how he applied, and if he applied under the rubric of I have a non-commercial domain name, and therefore I'm entitled to join, and this domain name doesn't resolve, then I think we need to ask him to clarify that. although maybe he just uses it for email or purposes or something like that, fine, just clarify that. However, if he applied under the I'm an individual with no domain name and I just care about non-commercial issues, that rubric, then unless there's something, again, that's actually incomplete or wrong with his application, I think we should let him in.
Okay. Okay. I think maybe Mariam wants to say something. I suppose that I never know that maybe Mariam is from Nigeria, but she thinks that there is a risk. Then, I mean, risk here that Nigerians share a similar name, especially people from the north, south. So, I mean, in one of the most populous country in Africa, I think the odds to have people with the same names, I think it tend to be high here. So, I guess it would be safe, I mean, just to check and to confirm. We don't have a specific reason to reject, but I think to check about the person, it will be probably much more safe. So, what do you think, guys?
Now, Tapan here, yes. It appears that this domain name has really been set up for email only. It has basically relays for Google. And if he doesn't want to use it or he should for anything else, that's fine. But knowing it would be nice. I agree with Robin's basically that if she or she applied as for interested rather than as a domain name holder, then it's okay. And also that actually is a country CCTLD domain, so it would not qualify for the generic domain anyway. Would it? So.
You think we should accept, or I mean, not sure about you mean we should accept?
Well, I would like to ask for clarification, but tentatively I would accept. So
okay.
Nobody else cares about it. I'll go along. I'll accept if you want.
No, I'm trying to clarify because you give some points, I think. So just to be sure, I'm getting your, position here. Rudy?
Well, maybe it's good if we could ask some clarification. It doesn't harm to ask for clarification, especially on applications where we lost track of where did they come from, how did they apply. It's good to have a check and see if the response on the email address we have, because he's using an email address that is info@beamsoft.com.ng. So it would be good if we could see if there is any reply coming from that email address.
Okay. Valid. Okay. So, Mary, please, we will ask for clarification and then I think we can check that he can receive our emails. That I think that will be a good test. Okay. The next one is Mark Eiling from the United Kingdom. He also provides a domain. Sounds for personal purpose. I mean, a lot of photos, but no more information, I think.
Well, Rudy here. I've checked, and I don't see any specific reason why to reject. That's the reason why I just approved in the list. He has a domain name, so he fits in the profile of the request for an individual.
Okay. So you vote approve, I think.
Yeah, I've already done that.
Okay. Oh, okay. You voted for me already. But yeah, it's okay. Okay, so he's approved.
Good. Oh, yeah. all the R's. It's confusing.
You have to change your names.
Yes.
Well, I can use my full name. It will change. Okay.
No, it's no problem. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. The next one. Linye Liu. She's from Konak. And, I mean, Konak was a member of NCIG, but they withdraw, and Limu was, I think, the representative. They withdraw because they become a registry, and so I think because when you need to join another stakeholder group, you cannot be a member of another one. So trying here to join again as individual, it doesn't, I think, really doesn't sound okay. But yeah, okay. Really, vote no approval. Yeah, Robin Tapani.
Tapani here. Again, I would like to ask her if the interest is due to the work or really personal interest. It's because Konak is not eligible, and then having a Konak representative would not be appropriate either, but it may be a genuine personal interest as well, so asking might be okay.
Yeah. Well, we can ask. I mean, just she was the representative, but yeah, I mean, we can ask. I mean, if she wants to keep contact or yeah, whatever. Robin?
Yes, I agree with Tapani and Rudy that I would be wary to admit her without a conversation about what interest she's looking to promote in NCSG, if it is a non-commercial user perspective or if this is, you know, something that she's going to be doing as part of her job with Konak, because I think, I don't mean this particular application, but as we've seen, many of them have come across lately and that are very questionable members of government, and so I think we need to be vigilant in making sure the non-commercial space remains truly non-commercial. But that doesn't mean she per se can't join. I think it just means having a conversation with her about what the interest is that she's looking to represent within the stakeholder group.
Okay. Yeah. So we send this question. Okay. So then we can go to the next. It's Imam Sibwa. I think Imam, it should be a name for me, from Indonesia. So what?
I've just dropped in the chat room a link. I found his profile on the ICANN website.
Oh. Thanks, Rudy. I think that definitely will be helpful. So it's an entrepreneur and web designer. Interesting. I mean, he's putting like an ad in the ICANN profile.
This is Robin. This looks like a commercial applicant to me as I look at his page here. Yeah. This looks like he's, you know, an IT guy looking to do commercial business at ICANN. I'm not sure he understands what he's applied for.
And it looks like his profile is coming from the IANA stewardship group. That's probably the reason why he has a profile.
It put everything, Twitter, LinkedIn, and also, quite long domain name. Tapani, what do you think here?
It's a bit strange looking at his icon site, but, in principle, being an entrepreneur looking for a job is not a problem. He might still have a valid interest in non-commercial domain names, but I don't see any. It's as Robbie said, it's a bit, looks like he may be confused about what and what's the interest here, so I'm not sure. I would like to ask for clarification if he knows what he's up to again. Is he going to do this as a business or what?
Okay.
Yeah, on top, he is requesting individual membership for NPOC, which is not possible.
Oh.
Okay, we can send the questions over.
To ask.
Okay, so the question is to ask what are the interests, why you want to join NCHG. And just to clarify, really, that the purpose why he wants to be there with us. So.
Also ask about that website, because it looks like I'm just ad farm, really.
I think I would ask him if he understands, if he has a non-commercial interest that he's promoting here, if he understands that this is, that's what this is, that's what we are, is the place to go to promote non-commercial interest. So if he does, if he says yes, wonderful, welcome aboard. But I suspect maybe he didn't understand, and so a conversation just to talk with him about what he's trying to achieve here and what we can do for him might be worthwhile.
Okay. Okay. So, we send this question. Next, Jimmy Rosario. Jimmy Rosario. So he's from San Domingo, and he gives several domain. I'm putting them in the Adobe Connect chat just for. That's really I don't think we have someone from that Caribbean country.
And again, I see he is applying for NPOC as an individual.
I think he's also applying for NCHC. So
Well, if he applies for an individual membership in NCUC, I would say I could approve, as again he has domain names that he seems to be owner of, and in that regard he fulfills one of the requirements.
Okay, so thanks, William. Robin, Stefani?
Looks legit to me. Don't see any reason to reject. Approve.
Okay. And, okay, I think Robin already voted approve.
Yep.
Okay, so, yeah. So he's approved. Good. Okay, the next is Carol Douglas. He contacted me twice, asking about the status of his application. He's also a fellow, ICANN fellow. And I asked about, because at the time he's working at the Office of Government Attorney General. Yes, he said yes, but... he explained that he joined as an individual and is not trying to represent. I think as a fellow, probably he know the difference. And he has kind of, I suspect, he has better idea about ICANN and stakeholder groups and so on. So, Robin?
Yeah, I just typed in the Google Doc there that I approve.
Okay. I thought that Stefani approved it, but it disappeared. Stefani, what's your vote?
Yes, it seems there's something wrong with the Google Docs that when I and Robin were typing exactly at the same time, they overwrote each other. But yeah, I approve.
Okay. So just be, yeah, take track. So yeah, it's approved. Yeah, thanks, guys. Okay, the next, Timothy Nee Martinensa from Ghana. So, Robin, you vote approve for him, or that's an all?
Yes, I don't see any reason not to.
Okay. Guys, it sounds that in terms of the vote disappeared somehow because three of you trying to... Okay, I can see it again. If three of you try to edit, sound that's kind of not working. But so Rudy, you put integration point. So you want to... To ask for clarification, just that's an old vote.
Well, it's a bit unclear what the purpose is. The address is a post office box, so there is no real physical address that the person is willing to give. We feel they have no objections. I would join you in approving.
Okay. I think...
Stefan here.
Yeah.
There's a little comment that the PO box may be the only functional mailing address in many places a physical address may exist but not be available for mail. So he may prefer a PO box for that reason. So that's not really suspicious.
Yeah, I would say the same. In some countries when you have the postal service can be really unreliable. I mean, having postal box, it can be much more safer. And in some country, there is no address at all. So yeah. Okay. Well, I think we can approve him then. Okay. The next. Next. Drew Taylor. From United States. About the address, Robin, you are the American with us here. There is a state with OK.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay. Oklahoma. Okay. this kind
Oklahoma
of,
is okay.
Okay. So,
just a little Rodgers and Hammerstein.
So there is a comment from the time. Yeah. Okay. I see that everyone deny. Okay. Okay, so deny. Wow, it was quick. And it was not okay for him this time. So just to put the reason, Marian, please write down the reason so when you send him the email. The next. Alyssa Mihai from Canada, and we have no information. So, what's your position here, guys? NW in Canada, it can be. Robin, Rudy, Tapani, any idea here?
Tapani here, yeah. The problem is that we have no information to make a decision here. That they're nothing against, but. I would be kind of inclined to ask for more info.
So, I mean, okay, so what you like to ask us information maybe that can get, we can give guidance to, I mean, to the applicant to give us, I mean, the...
Okay, I presume she's applying under general interest in a domain name system, not having her own. That's correct.
So just, I mean, probably ask about her interest to join NCAG. And I think also Rudy thinks the same. Ask for more info. Robin?
I suspect that her address, it might be complete. I think that NW might be Northwest Territories, which is the part of the very, very north part of Canada, which is a territory of Canada, I suspect. So, I'm
what do you mean by territories? It's kind of, I mean, it's more with natives and.
Well, yes, there is that. Yes. But that's a whole story about Canada that we don't have time for today.
Well, checking, it looks more close. Yeah, it's really near to the Arctic. So
right.
It sounds It sounds they are your neighbor, Tapani. So the other side.
I mean, I think it certainly can't hurt to get back in touch with her and get more information anytime we're not so sure about these folks. But at the same time, you know, I'm just hesitant to not accept someone just because, you know, we can't figure out who they are on the internet. It seems to me that, you know, if they've met the criteria that are in the application based upon the information that we've asked for and they've provided the information that we've asked for, and in this case it looks like this would be an individual who's applying because they're an individual with a non-commercial interest, not because they've got a particular non-commercial domain name. So, you know, I'm thinking she's probably going to be accepted, and I will welcome that, but I also wouldn't mind if folks wanted to get back in touch with her for more information just so, you know, we're clear. But I just don't want to leave her hanging. I just worry that, you know, if it takes too long for us to have these go-arounds with these folks, they're going to lose interest in joining. So that would be my one caution about that. But, I mean, I can go either way.
Okay, so you think we should ask for more information or approve? Or?
I would.
Okay, Tapani here again. I'm rather inclined to agree with Robin that we really may have, perhaps we should change the application form a little to ask more, but it's kind of a bad form that she is. If the application form is complete and there's no reason of suspicion, then we still ask for more info, and then it's kind of strange. So I would actually be inclined to approve at this point.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Stefan. I mean, with the new forum hopefully won't have all those kind of issues, I mean, at least to decrease the level. Rudy?
Yeah, I'm following Tapani here also. It's a bit difficult to go back in history and figure out when they applied, why they applied. After a while, they're losing interest and they don't respond to questions anymore. So don't forget, we need to have a good contact in order to have them in elections casting a vote. That's also one of the rules that need to be followed as a member. So if the member is just there for being a member and for the rest is not cooperative in the organization, it's good to have a high number, but at the end it's those who are working and doing something that are interesting.
Thanks, Rudy. I mean, yes, I mean, there is, I mean, we try to welcome people and still we need to find a way to engage them much better. Okay, so I see here people are leaning to approve. I will try to get in touch with her, so please, madam, just take note. So to remember that, so I will try to contact this applicant and, you know, to explain the situation and so on. I mean, at least to be fair to them. Okay, so she's approved. Okay. The next, I think, is the same like the situation we discussed before. It's from China, from Quebec, and in that time we were wondering we're having. So, yeah. I see that Robin asked if we need to ask her if she wants to represent non-commercial user or Quebec and so on. So, I mean, I think it's the same like what's her name, Liu, or what do you think here, guys?
Tapan here. I agree. Treat exactly like Liu above. Ask whether she's doing for Konak or because it's exactly similar situation as with Liu, except that she's not been Konak rep before, but still.
Rudy?
Yeah, I agree. It's unclear, and we need to be careful in allowing registry people to come in and take some position. It's good to know and to have a clear explanation of the person, what the objectives are when joining NCSU or NCSU or NPOC.
Okay. So thanks, Rudy. Robin, I think you put your points already. So we will send this question to her. Okay. The next is Manuel Pereira. We tried to contact him, but the email address is bouncing. So no way to ask the question or clarification. So okay, Tapani.
About Pereira, I'm still there. In principle, I don't want members whose email address does not work. So that's a cause for rejection.
Okay, yeah. We added, I think, the validation. I mean, yeah, it's too bad. I mean, there's no way to fix backward. Okay. Rudy, I mean, also you agree here?
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks. Okay. The next is Anselm Sanchez from Venezuela.
Rudy here. It looks like did we contact that person? As I see in the comments.
He was contacted, but he didn't respond.
Okay.
Tapani?
Yeah, if his website doesn't work and he does not reply to contact, that's reason to deny reject.
Okay, thanks, Tapani. Okay, deny. The next, Edwin Opare from Ghana, and he was contacting the time, and he gave, I mean, answer and so on. So he's okay. That's good, guy. Thanks. So he's approved. I like this. Okay. The next one, Nashin Andiambo Indiwa. From Kenya, he was contacted to ask for more information, but no information, no response.
Tapani here. I think that if he get no response for contact, then that's grounds for rejection.
Okay. Robin?
This is Robin. I agree with Tapani.
Okay. Rudy, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I'm just following. Yeah, if I'm not commenting, then I agree with the previous speakers. Just to increase, not increase time.
Okay, thanks. It's just I'm trying to be sure that we are getting all votes here. So. Okay. Okay, this one, Center for Open Governance.
That seems to be a wrong registration, because a Center for Open Governance should be under the organizational members and not under the individual.
Yeah, I think yeah, it was a mistake. And anyway, I mean, no contacted and no response about this. So I think he clarified that he was applying as already he was applying as individual. Intention was to apply.
And the website he's giving is not working.
Yep. So. Robin?
Sorry, I'm just still looking at this. So the website doesn't work. Nobody's gotten back to us from email about questions. I guess we deny it. I mean, we can't have it just keep going over and going over and going over if we can't get in touch with them. I don't know what we can do.
This is Mariam here. Hi. So Edwin Opare, the guy who just got approved, is the representative for Center for Open Governance.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. It's he replied already that he's joining as individual member. So
this is actually just a mistake, Tapani here. Just that this Center for Open Governance application is basically mistaken and replaced by this individual application we just approved.
Yep.
Yeah, so we discard it.
Okay. Oh, it disappeared. Mariam,
I moved it.
Okay. Okay, just to, you know, Mariam, that we try to keep track here, so please
stay
in my objection. So, okay, the next is Edward Reeves from Canada. We ask it. And it's bouncing mail address. So I think
Tapani here. Do not with no members without functional email is pretty clear criteria.
Okay. Then the next Alamo Abiodun Tunde from Nigeria contacted. And no response. I think
again, if no response to contact, then deny.
Okay, do that. Okay, the next is Matisa Aguero from Peru. We asked it for information, clarification. I even met her, asked that she sent clarification, no reply. We contacted again, I think like twice. I honestly did my best here, but she didn't send really a response, so,
Rudy here. She was an ICANN fellow in 2013.
Yes, that's why I had a chance to meet her and explain that she needs to send information, but she didn't reply, and I contacted her again, but then no response. So okay, see, deny. Okay.
Rafiq, this is Robin. So
yes,
I would. Oh, I see. People have already put their votes in there. Yep. I was just going to say, if we're not getting responses to the emails that we're sending to them, then I think we've got no choice but to deny.
Okay. Yep. Okay. The next is Abhajit Jayanti. We asked it. For more information, she sent LinkedIn.
You skipped one.
Oh, sorry. Which one? Oh, whoa. Thanks. Okay, this one from China, it was, I think Tang Chao contacted, but no reply. So. I think here deny as usual, okay? Okay. Oh, so, sorry, again. The next is PG Jayanti from India. He shared his LinkedIn and several domains. So,
the website he is giving, Rudy here, the website he is giving here is seems to be a holding, so it's a commercial entity that he is using as link. It's unclear.
Yeah.
And the profile in the LinkedIn seems not being responding.
Yes, I'm trying to check by I'd say didn't copy well. Well, it sounds he give me I mean, that's what he gave me as link, so, what? Hey, guys.
This is Robin. I'm looking at these web pages that he said he sent, that he's registered as non-commercial, for non-commercial use, and so far, they've all expired. And they're just being used now for links, this olivefoundation.org, WIKIRWakirti.IN. And I need to check the last few of them as well, but it's looking pretty suspicious to me.
Okay. So you vote, what will be your vote?
Well, if you give me two more minutes to look at these other websites, because he's provided a list of them here, and so far all of them have come back as invalid or expired, I think I'm going to vote no. But let me just see if any one of these websites is in fact a non-commercial website.
The top one here, the point that he apparently has responded to requests, so even if we might be worth asking again, that can you clarify these websites because they don't really exist? Something, but
yeah.
If he is active enough to reply, it might be worth asking again.
That's right.
But really, I hope I'm waiting for Robin to check for the rest of the websites.
Well, the fourth one appears to be a web page that's like a business, but it's just a single page announcing it. It's just nothing else there, but simply JITH Holdings. Well, that's.
Also, I found out that he sent me his resume, so an executive profile, say, he's a first-generation entrepreneur with business strategy and investment management experience in the field of renewable energy and industrial infrastructure. His experience on areas such as RE technology, technology diligence, business diligence strategy, policy framework, investment advisory, and management, having worked extensively across India, Middle East, and African geographies. So,
okay, yeah. So I've just looked at all these websites. There's not a single non-commercial, valid non-commercial website here of the list he supplied, so I'm going to vote no.
Rafiq, Rudy here. The information you received, is that a recent email or is that something that dated from last year?
No, it's not too recent. I mean, it's when I asked him, yeah.
How recent?
Not recent. So, W, guys, you want that we ask him again? I mean, since this, situation for some domain changes, but if some are functioning and having commercial, so that's...
I'm just checking the .org one, and it's registered by a proxy, so that's already quite strange also.
Well, that's
was
not...
updated the 4th of April, so it looks like it has been taken away from him. He was the owner previously.
Oh, he just let it expire. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe Rudy here. Maybe a suggestion: we do a last query to see if he's still willing to become a member, but with indication of existing and valid domain name.
Tapani here. I agree with Rudy. Let's do that.
Okay.
This is Robin. I agree.
Okay. Mariam, please put the comment here so we can throw up. Are you still with that? Okay, yeah. The next, Rajin Grinta from India. Contacted and no reply. Okay, I think this is denied. Okay. That becomes straightforward. The next one, Alexander Schuber. I think he's with .ge. And, yeah. Okay, so deny. Rudy Tapani. Okay, deny.
Yeah, just deny.
Okay. The next thing is Brenton contacted and no reply.
And the domain name expired also.
Yeah, that's why I think it's one of the reasons I think in that time we contacted because the domain was not working. deny. The next, I think Mike Jones, no email, so deny. I think this is deny. Okay, just to confirm with you guys, no objection.
Yes.
Okay. Next one, Jingao. So, we sent email to provide background. Still not heard back from applicant. So, that, yeah, I think Mariam, you contacted him, but no response. Okay, deny. For the next, I think no further action. He's already a member, so that's okay. We are number 30, Fabrice Toino from Bina. We sent mail and no reply from applicant. That was done in March 3rd, exactly 1 month ago.
Rudy here, that's a bit strange because we see quite a lot of activity from that person on mailing list. So I'm a bit surprised, or it's not the same person.
Which mailing list, Rudy?
I thought I've seen him on the at-large list. I'm not sure, but...
Okay. Honestly, I have no answer here. I mean, you know, it depends how people react when they receive email from a known person, but, what do you think, guys?
Was he not on the fellowship list?
I think we didn't find him in that time in the fellowship, so that's why I think it wasn't one of the reasons why he was applying. Robin? Deny? Tapani?
Yeah, if we get no reply, then we deny.
Okay. Okay, I see. Rudy also deny?
Yeah.
Okay. The next. Ajahu Harold? Same, it's going to be done, and no reply. Okay, I think it's denied. Okay, wow.
It's Rudy here. I'm still a bit confused as they are from regions where we want to have people being present and being able to speak for the regions, so... It's a pity that the communication is failing.
Yes, really. I mean, we contacted them at that time. I mean, they were quite a new application, and we contacted them, but no response. I don't know. We can give another try, but just questioning is how. Yeah. Up to you guys, I think, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tapani here. In case of, we might consider sending a secondary request in some cases, but we can't go on doing that in general because it will be just too much work and take forever. So if they don't reply and there is no reason to suspect that it's due to email failure or something like that, then don't see any option but to deny, really.
Okay.
It looks like he was working at the Ministry of Finance in Bina.
This is Robin.
Yes, Robin.
You know, and in these cases, too, when we... deny these applications because there's no response to our emails, we send them an email saying, sorry, but we're denying your application because we're not able to reach you, or something along those lines. Now, if upon receiving that email from us, they turn around and say, oh, wait, I've been on vacation, or my server failed, or, you know, say, no, wait, I really do want to join, there's no reason why we couldn't simply just, you know, take that application out of the reject basket and say, all right, you're back on the table. We're happy to have you. I wouldn't say these are necessarily like, you know, permanent bars of entry. It's just if we can't reach them at some point, we have to recognize that we're just, you know, wasting our time sending emails to people who aren't getting back to us, and that's probably not the best use of our administrative resources.
Okay, so...
Yeah, Tapani here. Okay. Yeah, basically I agree with that. But, of course, bringing an application back from a rejected pile is nothing, not really different than saying, okay, we consider that you have reapplied, so I'm happy with that as well. So we send them a message that, sorry, we have to reject you because we did not reply, but we might actually add a comment that if you really want to join, please reply now and we'll be taken back.
Some kind of good workaround for me. I mean, it's rejected unless a response, so they can then be considered for review again. Rudy, does it work for you?
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
Good.
We could use that as a general method so that when we send them a mail that we denied their application, that if they can give more clarification and the reason why the mails were bouncing, then we can review it again, maybe.
Well, yeah, why not? So, yeah, it's just rejection if no further response or, yeah. Robin, Tapani, I mean, do you think that we should have this as a kind of general rule or just for, I mean, you want it for this case only?
No, I think it should definitely be a general rule.
Agreed.
I mean, yeah, that's before I was doing this kind of, to be honest, yeah, when sending a lot, it's hard also to keep, but yeah, if we have this, it's a more clear process. So, Mariam, please put this, I mean, this is, yeah, who's speaking?
So I think it would be sort of a provisional denial or a denial pending you get back to us pretty quick.
Yes, it's rejected unless you respond within like 10 days or 15 days, something like that, mm-hmm. to be reconsidered. I mean, we need to give time. I mean, we cannot just to keep like at infinity. So, yeah, so what do you think? Like 2 weeks, I think it's fair, really, I mean, for email.
I'd even give them a little bit longer. You know, maybe they go on a 3-month sabbatical or something. So, I'd give them a little bit longer before it's a final rejection, if you will.
Okay.
Rudy,
so,
as we have our monthly call on applications, we could say, okay, it's still the next EC meeting that is going to validate. So, if we didn't have response before that date, then we consider that it's final. Is that okay?
Yeah. I think so.
It would be
in 1 month. Okay.
Okay.
So, good. Mariam, please add this for who we denied for no response. I mean, just to kind of, it will be last chance. But then after that, I think automatically we can put them, I mean, if we don't receive them by the next EC, usually it's 1 month, but it's even sometimes it's much more. So we are giving them, I think, enough time. So if no response, automatically we can reject them. So just to not really have to do the rework again over again. Okay. So please, Mariam, be sure that you have notes for all this, since you will send them later. Okay, we finish it with individual. The next is our organization. At the next sheet. So the first one is the information policy, analytical policy. It's from Azerbaijan. And
Rudy here. if I'm not wrong, I think we have seen that person at an ICANN meeting already. I'm not sure when or where, but it's something that rings me bells.
I mean, you met him in person?
Well, when you check the LinkedIn page, yeah, the picture that I saw already was giving me some talks, and when I'm checking his LinkedIn, which I dropped in the chat, it's somebody that is in contact with several people that we know from the ICANN community, like Izumi, Adela Dantiu, Zeni Markovsky, Jacek Jadrowski. It's somebody from the ISOC community, I think, also. So that's probably the reason why it rings me a bell. But it looks like the website is still not running.
And, yeah, I mean, because it's applying as an organization, so... And I found, yeah, he's in the ICANN wiki.
And this is already an application from a long time ago, I imagine?
I don't have date here.
If it's not running now, it's even not under construction because it doesn't respond even now.
Okay, so, I mean, I think for organization it's mandatory to have a domain name.
Kapani here, yeah, I agree, and I think they should also have a working website. For an organization, that's a reasonable requirement. So if a website that's been under construction or non-functional since forever...
The domain name is even no longer in the root, in the DNS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pity. But yeah, again, maybe we could apply here the same rule for asking for sending them the denial of a membership, but allow them to clarify why the website is not running or the domain name is even not active.
Yes, send denial message, and if they reply to that, reconsider.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think we are here developing kind of possibility for people to ask for review or, I mean, reconsideration, which I think it's fair. And okay, so deny and just giving as other possibility to clarify and to give here, in particular, a working domain name for the organization. Just waiting for me to take notes. I mean, okay. I think the next. Thanks, guys. I mean, you did it quickly, so it's approved. The next one is Institute for Dynamic Solution Innovation. I remember that I could try to contact them about the funding and their interest, but never get. I didn't get any answers. So,
now tap on it here again. Contact with no response is grounds for denial.
Okay. Robin, Rudy?
Yes, Rudy here. I'm just checking because on their website I see a name of a person who seems to be a Belgian person. It's a bit strange. I would say we could use the rule that we defined so that they are allowed to come back to us if they are willing to stay on as a member. Otherwise, the next validation round, we just finally deny them.
Okay. I mean, and we can ask them anyway this question and just, I mean, to give them, I mean, in the same time, just to not have this kind of back and forth communication, just to get once all information. So, Mariam, please, when you send the email about the denial, just also give the question we wanted to ask and the clarification. I mean, otherwise we have a lot of too many back and forth, and it won't be easy to track. Okay, the next one is the Center for Strategic and Policy Analysis.
This is Robin. Yeah, I thought we'd already denied this because Zahid is a very active member of the intellectual property constituency, the commercial stakeholder group. So, you know, this is another one of these cases where we really need to be vigilant about opening up opportunities for other stakeholders to influence the non-commercial space. And I like Zahid very much personally. It's not about that. It's about keeping clear distinctions between which stakeholder group are you participating in.
Yes, I mean, it's fair enough. Okay. It's nine. Okay, the next one. Try to contact and no reply. So, okay. So I think here is it's clear rule: deny with opportunity just to get back in track. Okay. The next one. Yes. Same situation. Think. Deny. And again, this one. I think the last one we already treated, so it's already rejected. I mean, because he's already a member. Wow. Okay. Guys, I think we made it. I mean, we really kind of cleaned up the backlog, and we approved many new members. I'm really thankful for this, guys. I mean, I think we did a good job here, and also we are more clarifying some rules guiding us in terms of, I mean, it will be easy. I think also it will be better, I mean, if we can write down some of them just for documentation. So that he can create some institutional memory for the executive committee and how we act in some time. So hopefully, Mariam is taking note of this, so we can have that as kind of set of rules. So doesn't make sense for you guys?
Yeah, Tapani here. Definitely makes sense. And I think we should write it down and hash it in the mailing list to clarify this, but having clear rules for simple cases at least would be nice.
Yes, and Rafiq, thank you so much for really holding the whip over us on these applications. I'm just so happy that we've gotten through them all. I mean, it was a bit painful here, but we went through every one of them and made a decision. So, congratulations to you for actually getting that done, because I certainly never could. Way to go.
Fair. I think Rudy is raising his hand and we connect. Yes, Rudy?
Yeah, well, I agree, Rafiq. We are making progress, and it's becoming more simple to go through the applications once you have all the information. There is... for me, still the question about when somebody applies, is there a mail going back to confirm the application, because then we should already have a bouncing mail eventually if things are not correct.
I definitely agree on that. Actually, I would set it up an automatic system that your email confirmation is required, like in joining a mailing list, so that we always check that my email is working before approving anybody.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that should be the basic thing to do. Marin, did you said that validation in the form, or you need some help here?
The validation in the form is just to say we've received your email and we'll get back to you within 1 month. We'll review the application within a month.
Okay, so when we send the email and it's bouncing, we can receive some error message or we cannot notice any?
Not that I know from... I have not tested that with a new one.
Okay. Tapani, how do you think we can do that? I mean, can we tweak the Google Doc, or you think we just have something ad hoc kind of script and just...
if we are sending mail already, then all it should do is to set up the reply address or error to address so that we can catch bouncing emails.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can put ourselves, like, for example, in maybe... in CC or something like that, so we'll get any error message?
Yes, yeah. Whatever.
Good idea.
Okay. I'm not sure if we should put that in EC, because there can be kind of traffic. Maybe you can handle that. I mean, if you receive to email, probably better to use some filter or something, so... you can have an idea what you are receiving as.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, we will have to, we will consolidate the list of new members. We'll add them within this weekend. We will send email with denial and so on to our applicant, and Miriam will try to follow up and update. And she will clean up the file anyway. And we will try also to write down the rules. And the new form will be live this weekend. So it will be new, kind of from the new start. So we have only 50 minutes, one file, 50 minutes left. I just wanted to suggest something. And maybe Tapani will help me a lot here. We are trying to do a lot of work in ConfCall, but Tapani, I think when you was in NCUC Executive Committee, you proposed what you call a virtual meeting. It's trying to do work in mailing list, but in the way that is really structured, and then we can take decision quickly. Can you maybe just explain how it works and see if we can maybe also adopt this way so we can also handle other stuff well in mailing list?
Oh, top on here. Okay, it works for many issues. It's simply you send a agenda to the mailing list and declare that this is a virtual meeting, and then we discuss the matter in the mailing list, and when you conclude that consensus or decision have been reached, then host minutes of this virtual meeting and declare it's done. We did that a few times in the NCUC. I've been done that a lot in other organizations, and it works quite well in some contexts. Some issues are easier to handle in a teleconference, but for many other things, it works well and provides nice institutional memory as well when everything's in the mailing list. So depending on the issue, how urgent it is, and whether it's easier to do on offline or like asynchronously while or whether it has to be rushed and discussed in deep areas, but for many issues, I think it works very well. So basically just send an agenda to the mailing list, wait for people to respond, and craft minutes, that's the decision. There are simple yes-no questions, you can just put them at, hey, everybody reply, is this okay? And everybody replies, then post the minutes, and that's it.
Thanks, Stephanie. I mean, yeah, we are spending a lot of time in this call trying for the application review. So we are trying to help them on a monthly basis so we can help. But that's why I'm thinking if we have this kind of virtual meeting, it's because it's structured, so we can also make decisions on other matter. So, Robin, what do you think? Should we kind of try this and see how it works?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good idea. And I think for the next round of applications we will have to validate, I think we will not need more than 20-25 minutes because we have been doing a lot of backlogs now. Based on the new applications, we went quite quickly through it. So I think we have a lot of other stuff that we need to handle, and that's something we could eventually do by virtual meetings, yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Rudy. Robin?
Yeah, this sounds great. Like, we could get more organized and have more documentation and a process in place. I think it's wonderful. I welcome it.
Okay. Okay, look, so that's good. We have on this, I mean, yeah, good. I mean, I'm just thinking it's really, we spend more time in other matters, so, and more planning and so on, and also that we keep this track and documenting what we are trying to do, rules and so on. That will be really helpful because we don't know, changing new chair and so on. So. Okay, so we are in any other business. So, guys, do you want, you have any point you want to suggest? Just checking for those. Are you all of you coming to Buenos Aires? Has your travel preparation settled out already? Or?
Japani here. I'm unlikely to be in Buenos Aires. There's a slim chance I will, but very slim at this point.
Oh, okay, Japani. I mean, I hope that you come. I mean, we didn't see you since a while. It will be good to have also the executive committee meeting in Buenos Aires.
We already agreed that Robin gets the NCHC travel slot, so I'd have to ask for NCUC funding or something, but even if I get it, my schedule is a bit tight in June, so I'm not sure it would be worthwhile. So I don't think I will be there, but it's not 100% certain yet.
Okay, so please keep us updated. I think for Rudy and Robin, I think it's okay. You are going to attend the meeting, so.
Yes, of course. I will be in Buenos Aires. Maybe for the other business, do we schedule already a call for next month for the applications review for the AC meeting, or what do we do?
Okay. Since we try to handle it in the end of, the last Friday in the month, we already having the call in April. So, in 10th April, I don't expect we'll get a lot of application. So, we can have the next call in the last Friday of May. And in the meantime, we'll try to start using a virtual meeting for other business and other decisions. So.
Tapani here, if I may, I would like to suggest the second last week of end of May is Friday, the 22nd. I may not be available on the 29th.
Okay, yeah. That make it more earlier, and also because we have later, the Buenos Aires meeting is the mid of June. Okay, 22nd. Rudy, Robin, does it work for you, 22nd May?
This is Robin. That works for me.
Rudy here. Yeah, that's okay for me, too.
Okay. Good. Okay. So, any other question? Suggestion you have, guys, or should I free you for the rest of the day?
This is Robin. Speaking as somebody who's got an accountability call that starts in 10 minutes and will run for 2 hours, and my dog is looking at me longingly, I would appreciate if we could have a short break.
Okay. Yep. Thanks,
well
guys.
Done.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
Have a nice weekend, everybody.
Bye.
Mark, give me a call now. Thank you very much.